This is the day that we're celebrating a rededication of America to God. Karen sent me a prayer by...
No, Linda did.
I'm sorry, Linda. All right, let's go on. Here it is. It says it's an excerpt from something Clay Nash, Jeff Buck, and Dutch Sheets wrote. The Declaration of Dependence. Of course, it's dependence upon God, right? So we're going to pray this morning. I'm going to speak it over America, over Georgetown, Kentucky. Because God showed me many years ago, Georgetown, Kentucky is assigned to be a city of glory.
Yes.
In fact, I hope tomorrow to bring in the pictures of the water tower, the prayer of consecration that Pastor Callan had made years ago, to hang on the walls here this week and start some move in of more of our decor. Amen? And so I want to read this prayer to you, and we're going to get in agreement with it, right?
Amen.
We declare America was raised up by God to be a city on a hill and a beacon of light to all nations. We declare America was called to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to all nations of the earth and to serve all nations according to Isaiah 60:1-3. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Rise, shine, for the light has come. We declare that America's founding by God under an appeal to heaven, along with our renewed appeal to heaven, dedication will give us a rebirth. We declare our renewed dependency upon God our Father to reconstitute America as one nation under God, a Christian nation filled with followers of Yeshua. We declare we have put our trust in Him and no other. We have no king but Jesus/Yeshua. We pray today that our land will become the hallowed land of God, His justice. Hallowed means consecrated or set apart to a sacred use or to the service of worship or worship of God. It's since frequent in Scripture as the holy Sabbath, holy oil, holy vessels, a holy nation, the holy temple, a holy priesthood. We declare America's hallowed unto God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Men would try to tell you that, well, we're supposed to be a non, you know, how can I say, independent of religion nation. That was never the intention. The founding fathers knew this nation needed to be dependent upon God and stay dependent upon Him. Amen. And we entered into that original covenant as established 250 years ago. Amen. That we'll serve God. And of course, we read starting out this morning. God says the nation that serves Him will be blessed.
Amen.
As well as His chosen people, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to appeal to the God of creation.
Yes.
The God of all power, life, and love. To establish the land we live in. It's holy unto Him. We appeal right now for a shutdown of that which would oppose holiness.
Yes.
Would oppose righteousness.
Yes.
Would oppose biblical morality. Raise up a people that will stand strong, stand in the gap, and see you move again mightily on this nation. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Do you love Him today?
Yes.
You know what we say?
Amen.
He loved us first. Thank you, Jesus. We've been talking about in here about the coming move of God upon the earth. We've been reading out of Habakkuk. In fact, you can turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. We'll review very quickly, as we've been doing for some time. God gave Habakkuk a vision for the end times. And in verse 14, it lists the vision. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God intends to bring His glory in these end times of the earth. And Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3, we just referenced that a while ago, says, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." Now, wait a minute. We always think of the glory just coming down from heaven and resting on a place. If we think of glory at all, most people think that. But he says it's going to come upon you.
Yes.
It's going to rise upon you, a people that are sold out to God, a bride of Christ, a glorious bride, just made herself ready, God's bringing the glory to.
Yes.
I volunteer for that. How about you?
Amen.
Of course, I know we have some military background people in here. Well, BJ's not here today. Anybody else here this morning serving in the military? Well, we know people that have, right? We've seen the movies. And you can get drafted or you can volunteer. Right? Now, of course, America does not have a draft right now. But I came up in the time of the draft. And many people I knew were drafted. And ended up in Vietnam. But others volunteered. Pastor Bob Martin. You guys remember Pastor Bob? He volunteered. He enlisted. And whether you get drafted or you enlist, you go through the same set of steps.
Yes.
They put you in. First, they shave your head, take everything you have on you, give you their clothes, their boots, all their equipment, and they send you to boot camp where you train, how can I say, rigorously for the battles ahead. I'm telling you, when you volunteer to be used of God to carry the glory, there'll be a boot camp experience.
Yeah.
There's going to be some training involved. Yeah. God's going to teach you how to do spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Now again, going back to Isaiah 60, verse 2 says, "For darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." The glory is coming on His bride at a time of gross darkness on the earth. How do now applies? Amen. I don't believe we even have scratched the surface of the depth of depravity of much of the leadership in our nation and in the world. I mean, what's being done with the human trafficking? Amen. Not to mention the knowledgeable abortion taking place in the nation. It's a time of gross darkness. And God says the glory is coming on my church at that time. At least on that part of the church that will go to boot camp. That will volunteer to be used.
Yes.
Amen. So he says, my glory is coming on the people at that time. Habakkuk chapter 2 again, where it's talking about the glory. Talks about the vision. It says in verse 2, he that reads his vision must run with it. Now again, I've never been to boot camp. Done some running. Of course, I'm from the farm. Did a lot of running back then. And running requires all your effort. Amen. Running is an all-limb activity. And he says, whoever reads the vision, which is the earth being filled with glory, and it's in your Bible, so we just read it. Now you know your assignment is to run toward the glory. Amen. In fact, we could rewrite that. Whoever reads the vision must run toward the battle. I don't know if you caught that yet or not. He that reads about the glory coming to the earth must run toward the battle because the devil's between you and the glory.
Yes.
He's not messing with people caught up in dead religion. He's not harassing people, for the most part, that have no heart for revival or no heart to carry the power of God or see miracles. He's trying to stop people that are. Amen. So when you run, you volunteer to carry the glory. You say, I'm all in. You run toward it, you're going to run into some devils. And they don't play fair. But again, the same for this church. Our mantra is, we win, we always win. And if you'll stay the course, you'll stand your ground, you will win every single battle over darkness. Amen.
Amen.
And God's going to use the glory. We're just doing some summarization very quickly. God's going to use the glory to bring in His end time harvest. He's going to use the glory to bankrupt the devil.
Yes.
Yes.
He's going to use the glory to put darkness under his feet.
Yes.
See, here's the funny thing is, in Isaiah 60 again, it says darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Darkness and gross darkness are not the same. One is just the absence of light. In other words, there's no revelation. The other, gross darkness, is a demonic sludge that blocks out all light. You can tell people the truth, but they can't comprehend it. Amen? In fact, I'm trying to think how it's worded. Light came into the world, to paraphrase, and darkness comprehended it not.
Right.
Remember that passage?
Yeah.
Look at John chapter 1. Darkness comprehended it won't. Comprehended it not. And people that are caught up in gross darkness, you can tell them the truth. It goes in one ear and out the other. I guess in one eye and out the other. They can't grasp it. Why? Because there's a devil in the background convincing them it's a lie. You don't need to know that. You know, God's not real, whatever the lie is. God is love. He loves you no matter what you do. Everybody's going to heaven. It's not scriptural.
That's right.
And we, with our little bitty, this little light of mine, will not disperse gross darkness. God says only one thing is designed to disperse that type of demonic infiltration, the type of demonic settling, assault, presence. And he said, it's my glory.
Amen.
And I got a surprise for the devil. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, had the devil known what he's doing, and he known what he was doing, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
The Lord of glory. Amen. Satan made his biggest mistake ever when he had Jesus nailed to a tree. If he left it alone, he could have never multiplied. But through the cross, he's multiplied the anointing, the authority, those made in God's image.
Yes.
Amen. In the same way, God says, I've got a surprise for you, Mr. Ponytail. You knew Mr. Ponytail is, right?
Yes.
I got a surprise for you, devil. You think you've won with all this gross darkness in the world? I'm about to bring the darkness eradicator.
Yeah.
My bride.
Glory.
That people you've been persecuting, you've been harassing, you've been trying to stop. That people you've been trying to make sick, make oppressed, you know, make broke. I'm about to do a move through them. They're going to carry the same glory that was on my son when you nailed him to the cross. And they're going to eradicate your gross darkness from operation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And through that, when the veil is lifted, because the demonic sludge is gone, the harvest can come in. Anybody here used to be a fisher person like I was, a fisherman?
Me.
Peggy, I was a fishing nut.
Yeah.
And I fished all kinds of water. My favorite place to fish was Elkhorn Creek. I fished it for years. Haven't been on it probably 15 now. Maybe 20, maybe 25. I don't know. It's been a long time. 20 anyway. And when you're fishing in the spring and the waters are riffling through them, they're fairly clear. You can cast, see your lure. You can see the fish and, you know, catch some fish. But when there's a hard storm, the waters come up and everything's churned.
Maddie, yep.
You could put your hand in the water. You couldn't see your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
It's so carrying so much sludge and mud. And you know what? You never catch fish in that.
Very rare.
Well, before the storms, you can catch something. Once the storms foul the waters, I'll get the fish going to hiding under the banks, whatever they do. You're not going to catch any fish. Amen. And just from all the sludge stirred up, God says, I'm going to use my glory to get rid of the sludge. I'm going to filter it out. I'm going to eradicate it. And then people can see what's been unseen before. And we'll bring in the harvest of fishes in the end time.
Amen.
And fish for God represents the harvest of souls. he wants to bring in. Amen.
Amen.
It's interesting. Jesus started off his ministry on earth with telling Peter and John and James and the others to let down your nets. James and John, to let down your nets for a harvest. And he drew in so many fish, the boats began to sink. He ended his ministry on earth. When he appeared to the disciples, after he had risen from the dead, he said again, they hadn't caught anything all night. Let down your nets on the other side. And he drew in 153 fish of all kinds, representing God's plan in the end times. Actually, plan through time to start off the ministry of the church with a harvest. How many know the first week of the church? I know we're speaking at a higher level right now than maybe you normally hear. But the first week of the church, after the day of Pentecost, 8,000 people were saved out of 120 people ministry.
Yes.
Representing an initial harvest taking place. Well, that would be Jesus starting off his ministry saying, let down the nets. At the end of Jesus' ministry, he says, let down your nets again, and they again bring in a great harvest. That means the church in the end times is going to finish with the church at the beginning started.
Yes.
Get ready to let down your nets. But our tool is going to be this anointing that comes upon us, this glory. Now, continue witnessing anyway. I got to go garage sailing yesterday, and I witnessed to people everywhere I went. Gave out cards. I thought some might be here this morning at church. I love the cards I sent, so I gave out. God's calling for the people to run with His glory.
Yes.
Now again, summarizing, verse 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2 says, Behold, he whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him. Now those people full of pride can't carry the glory. But it says the just, the righteous, should live by his faith.
Yeah.
God says, I'm going to raise up a people in the end times who will live by faith. They get born again by faith, but how they started, they continue. Amen. Yeah. And it's a people that learn this book is true.
Yes.
I believe this is God's word.
Amen.
I believe every word of it was God breathed and God recorded.
Yes.
Men wrote it down, but God was behind the pen.
Yes.
And it's been carried through the ages accurately. What we have here is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And what it says in this book we can have.
Amen.
Amen.
I know some churches I've been to, they confess it. This is the Bible. It's my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I believe that.
Amen.
This is a promise book full of promises from God to us who believe in Jesus. I'm recipients of Jesus' last will and testament.
Yes.
The new covenant, right? Which includes all the promises of the old covenant. So in this book we are promised life. Not just breathable life, you know, we can live and move, but that the life God's talking about is Zoe life. And Zoe life means there's no sickness in your body. I don't believe we have to live sick. We don't have to die sick. How are you going to die? It's your time, you just go on. You follow me? When I say your time, you've lived a long, full life. Finished your course. God's okay, you're done, come on home. Like he did with Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and many others. Come on up here. It includes no pain. Isaiah 53 says, Jesus took our pain.
Yeah. That's right.
On a shadow of an ankle 2 years ago. No pain. Amen. In fact, the hospital wouldn't even see me because I had no pain. They thought I was just, I guess, there for their entertainment. I finally had to flag the x-ray machine down myself. Get to take a picture. And when they saw the picture, they said, uh-oh, we were scheduled for surgery in the morning. No pain. No lack. Jesus was never broke a day of his life. You read about the Old Testament patriarchs, neither were they. God plans for you to prosper.
Amen.
Amen. It says in Scripture, I believe this Bible. Deuteronomy 8:18, he's giving you power to get wealth.
Amen.
That he may establish a covenant with you. Amen. There's no lack in Zoe. There's no strife. There's no oppression. There's no fear. And God says we get all of this out of these promises that we receive by faith. So what we have somewhere here, they've moved around somewhere in the back there, promise cards. If there's a need in your life, get a promise card and start building your faith for it. Speak it over your life and stand until you see it come to pass. Well, I don't believe all that, then you won't have it. Because faith believes. It starts with believing this book. You believe it so much, you believe if it says in the book, you can have it. If you build your faith for it, claim it and stand on it.
Yes.
I believe it. And so we're to run toward this living by faith. The just shall live by faith, meaning the righteous shall live by faith. Now you were born again by faith, not by works. No one is ever going to go to heaven and say, I was saved because I was such a good person. Never going to happen. Because all of sin will fall short of the glory of God. Amen?
Amen?
The law proved everybody as a sinner and not worthy of heaven. But Jesus, while we were yet his enemies, died for us. That whosoever believes in this sacrifice can be born again, made righteous without works. Just by faith, God will make a change inside of you.
Yes.
Even though your mind is not changed, even your actions are not fully aligned with God's will. Because you said, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. God qualifies you for heaven. Out of love.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Now there's still a responsibility to read this book and act on it. It's part of the Lordship. But by faith, we get born again. But again, living by faith, just shall live Zoe by faith, is more than just being born again. It's once you're born again. See, the cross is the starting point. Now we have responsibility once we're born again to learn how to live out of the kingdom of heaven that we have access to now. And tap into these promises. And the just shall live by faith are a group of people that go beyond the cross. Understand, the cross is everything to us. But we don't stop there. We go into the Word and find out. How many know if salvation was just about the cross, we wouldn't need 66 books?
Yeah. That's right.
You follow me?
Yeah.
It's more than that.
That's right.
It's about living out of a kingdom we have access to because now we are made righteous. The just shall live by faith, become those qualified to carry God's glory. Let me state this. You can get born again by faith. And in fact, if you are born again, it was by faith. You can get born again by faith and stop there. You follow me? But you won't be qualified to carry the glory. Why? Because you stopped from stepping into living by faith. You just got saved by faith. It doesn't say that just you'll get saved by faith. Or, you know, be born again by faith. It says he should live, specifically should live by faith. And again, this verse, that passage repeated. It's in Scripture four times. Now go to Romans chapter 1. Let's look at this very quickly. Still just reviewing. But you know what the review does? Gets it down in us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power, the dunamis power of God, the dynamo power of God, that supernatural power. It's the power of God unto salvation. Soteria, that's the same meaning as sozo, the fullness of the life of God. In fact, it parallels life in heaven. It's the power of God unto soteria, salvation. For everyone that believeth, that's the word pistis, it's the Greek word for faith. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. In this book it shows us how righteous you must be to walk with God. It also shows us the path to access that righteousness through the cross, right? Am I losing you guys? You look stunned at that statement. For in the gospel is righteousness of God, the righteousness of God revealed. This tells us the path to salvation. From faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now listen. If the gospel is just about being born again, then it wouldn't say from faith to faith. It would just say faith. Because once you're saved by faith, you'd be done. But there's a process once you're saved, going from faith to faith to faith, to walk in more of the presence and power and glory of God.
Amen.
God's raising up an end time church to carry that glory. And God's given us all this technology to accelerate our development to be able to do so. You know, it used to be hard for people to get to church once a week. We have such transportation available. We could go every night if we wanted to. We could go twice a day. I think it's a great idea. We just start two-day service.
I might have to.
You can come to prayer all the time. You can turn on the TV and watch ministry 24/7 on the radio, play your, you know, streaming services, whatever you want to do. I used to say tapes. Millennials don't know what you're talking about, so. Are millennials the last generation? The most recent?
No, Gen Z.
What are we into now?
Gen Z.
I couldn't hear you.
Gen Z.
Gen Z, okay. So once we're done with Gen Z, do we go, will you re-loop back and go to Gen AA?
No, they have, what is it?
It's something else.
The younger ones, there's actually two more below.
Yeah.
I got you.
It was just
a rhetorical
question.
I
think
question.
One of them
out. Okay.
Generation Beta.
Generation Beta, okay.
And Alpha.
Alpha and Beta?
Yeah, I believe so. I think.
Gen X is the best.
Gen X is
anyway.
The best.
Anyway.
Oh, I'm partial to baby boomers.
I don't remember where I was now, praise God. This generation that we live in has the technology to have the word coming to us 24/7 if we wanted it.
Yes.
You can even play stuff while you're sleeping and let your spirit absorb it.
I do.
Amen. Some of you do that. I saw some hands go up.
Every night.
And God's done all this. I believe the technology's here. God had it come on the scene just to develop this bride for the end times. Amen.
Amen.
To carry the glory. I volunteer. Amen. Get ready for boot camp. So, in Romans, Paul writes that you can tie the just live by faith to the power of God being poured out into salvation, walking in the miracle power of God, living by faith. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Hopefully you're not getting too bored with this message. We're trying to add every week more to it. Now we're going to get into some detail this morning. Are you in Galatians chapter 3?
Yes. Amen.
Let's start reading at verse number 2. Paul's rebuking the Galatian church because they were falling back into legalism. People are coming to the church at Galatia and told them, well, it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You've got to be circumcised and follow the law as well. Paul said, poppycock. Phooey, no way. In fact, he said, woe is you, basically. He says in verse 2, this only what I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or the hearing of faith. Now here's the point. Verse 2 is a rhetorical question. He wasn't looking for a debate on it. Amen. He knew the answer. They got born again by faith.
Yeah.
They're falling into the trap of now trying to live legalistically by following the law, thinking they would be saved by following the law, or it was necessary to be righteous before God. No, just faith. Now listen, there's a responsibility to follow God. But it's not by having a list of things to do. Did you follow me? It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. There's nothing you can do internally to improve upon your righteousness that you received when you were born again. However, to walk in it, there's a necessity to renew your soul by the Word of God, to walk in the fullness of it.
Yes.
You follow me? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. This is the verse we went to last week. And worketh miracles among you. And worketh miracles among you. See, even the Galatian church who Paul was rebuking were seeing miracles take place. There's something wrong in today's modern churches that aren't seeing the miracle power of God. We've replaced living by faith and walking by faith and accessing the power of God by faith, the true purpose of the gospel. You're just trying to be nice people and do some good deeds. And we've turned the church into more of a social club, a people-pleasing establishment, more than a people pursuing living out of the kingdom, living supernaturally.
That's correct.
And again, March 2018, I had an encounter with God, who took me above the earth and showed me the churches of the world. And he said, here's the ones that are not going to the glory. And it was most of the churches in the world. Not that they couldn't get to heaven. They just could not carry the glory. He said, because they've become people pleasers. They've become more social clubs than they are living by faith. And he says, they're watering down the word by their traditions. They can't go into the glory. Then he showed me specks of light around here. Just specks. Here's the churches going into the glory. They're the ones that are living by faith, that are pursuing running. I'm paraphrasing a whole conversation I had with him. They're pursuing running with the Word. Pursuing following me all in. He said they will carry the glory in the end times. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, of all the dozens and dozens of visitations, prophetic dreams, visitations I've had. First of all, I've dealt with the glory of God coming in the end times, including the water tower vision. He's coming for a glorious bride.
Yes.
Let's go to verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God. See the word believed? That's the same word in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Pistis, faith. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now here's a question. This is not as rhetorical, although I know the answer. Was Abraham, while he was on earth, ever made righteous?
No.
No. Abraham, while he was on earth, was never truly righteous. God attributed righteousness to him. He's Abraham because you're believing me. You're believing me that you're not withholding your son. You're going to the land I sent you to. You're doing what you know how to believe me for what I promised you. You've not stepped off of the promises. You're calling yourself Abraham instead of Abram. You changed your name out of my direction. Because you're believing me, I'm going to consider you righteous, even though you're not. See, that's the difference between Abraham and us. He was considered righteous. We are made righteous. Big difference. If you're born again, you are now a species of being that did not exist prior to the cross. Shall I say that again? Before the cross, nobody had ever been made righteous on earth. You might go back and say, well, Adam was. Could be. But I know there were none after Adam until Jesus. And since the cross, God has made whoever will believe on Him and on the sacrifice, made them righteous. Took out your heart of sin and put in you a heart of love. And you are now a species of being that does not exist. Listen, I know this. Some people can struggle with this. You are no longer a mere human being. You're a God being. Still in a flesh body, but with the nature of God. Let me ask you a question. We're kind of getting some rabbit trails going here, but I think there's a rabbit at the end of them. Would it be wrong to say Jesus was of the God status of being when he was on earth?
No.
Would it be wrong, would it? He did not have a natural father. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost coming upon Mary.
Amen.
Yes.
He was 100% in a flesh body. 100% had a natural soul. But he was a God being internally.
Yes, right. Yes. Yes.
He was made in the image of God internally. Amen. I wasn't raised in sin. By the Spirit of God being able to come upon him because he was righteous from birth.
Yes.
He was righteous from conception. Yes. The Spirit of God was able to visit him all of his life and train him. Amen. And be in him.
Yes.
Because he was made righteous from conception.
Yes.
So we have no problem saying Jesus was of the species of being. He was of the God species of being. I don't have a problem saying that. How about you? But here's the question. What's the difference between Jesus on earth and you once you're born again?
None.
The only difference is the memories you have of being human.
Yeah.
But you are no longer merely human. You are now made in the image of God.
That's right.
You are now, the word says, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said this, works that I do, shall you do also. John 14:12. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Jesus said we can do what he did. We turn the air down just for you and now you're cold. Well, it was blowing out here. We're having fun. We are of the God species of being. Now back to verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, what he's getting at is Abraham was given a promise of inheriting promised land. He was given a promise that whoever blessed him would be blessed. The nations would come to him. He was given a promise that really morphed into the entire Old and New Testament. All the promises of it. Amen. In fact, God told Abraham, in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed.
Yes.
And it says, if we believe, if we live by faith, we become the children of Abraham. In other words, heirs of what Abraham was promised. How many know inheritance goes to your offspring? In most cases. Verse 8, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Justify means to make righteous. Amen? To make righteous. Preached before the gospel of Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. God preached to Abraham the same gospel we believe, but in a different fashion. And he says, if you believe me, I'll raise you up to be a blessing to the world. So he's comparing the faith of Abraham to those that get born again and believe God.
Yes.
At his word. So then, verse 9, so then they which be our faith, so they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
It's not talking about just getting saved. In other words, being born again. It's talking about the entire inheritance package.
Amen.
For as many as are the law, of works of the law, are under the curse. If you try to just try to be good enough on your own, you're bringing the curse upon yourself. Nothing you can do to be good enough. It's by faith. Am I taking you too far today? Trying to get somewhere. Let's see if we can speed it up some. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for as written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things that are written in the books of the law to do them. In other words, if somebody had ever been able to do everything in the law, they would have been righteous.
Yeah.
But nobody ever could, except Jesus. Nobody ever has. Since Jesus. Amen. So when you try to follow a set of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations to be righteous, it says you're setting yourself up to tap into the curse. Because you'll fail, condemnation will come into your life, and it gives the devil access. Verse 11. But look at this. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. There's the same passage. And Paul knew this phrase tied to the promise of the glory coming to the earth. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the Old Testament. He knew he was quoting Habakkuk. And he knew it tied to the glory of God coming on an end time people. I'm enjoying it. Nobody else is. Look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When he was nailed to the cross, he received the curse on himself so we could receive the blessing. Amen.
Amen.
He was made a curse so those that would believe in the sacrifice could be made righteous. Verse 14. Here we go. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, Abraham was never inhabited by the Spirit of God. He had divine visitors. He had prophetic representatives come and give him words. Angels. Most likely at times, pre-incarnate visitations of Jesus. But you have the Holy Spirit living in you. By faith in the cross. And you know what? A Christian that has been born again, but doesn't use their faith to tap into that Spirit of God's operation within, will never see it manifest. Most Christians never really expect to hear the voice of God. Never expect to be led to the Spirit. You follow me? They're just holding on to salvation to get to heaven, trying to be a good enough person. But if we will tap into it by faith, the residing presence of God within, the voice of God within, the direction of God within, we will tap into it. We can walk in God's fullness. See, Romans 8:14. If you be led of the Spirit, then are you the sons of God. This word sons is the word huios. H-U-I-U-O-S. Something like in the Greek, and it means the mature sons of God ready to take over the family business. Not just an offspring, it's somebody ready to step in and do their part. To run the show. And God said, if you be led of the Spirit, you mature. And you're ready to, let me put it this way, you're ready to carry the glory. But most Christians never expect to be led of the Spirit. Well, they may expect to hear God tell them something now and then, but not to be led day by day. I expect to be led all day, every day of my life by God. Do I always succeed? No. But I'm targeting it. And I'm getting gooder and gooder at it all the time. Wayne gave me a sign some years ago. He said, education is good, but racing is gooder. Amen. I still have it on my wall in my man castle. We get to carry the Holy Spirit within that nobody up till Jesus ever got to do. Nobody. David never did. Well, he had encountered with the Spirit of God, but he never carried within. Moses never did. Noah never did. We get to, and we get to use our faith to tap into it. Start doing this. Start asking God to lead you every day. Speak to you. Tell you when you're making a misstep. He'll do it. You'll know by the anointing if you're doing the thing God would have you do or not. Amen? And it'll give you shortcut ideas all the way. Now turn to Romans chapter 4. I want to read about Abraham. Because we're talking about the faith of Abraham. Let's see what he did by faith. Are you still with me? Shouldn't take but about 2 or 3 more hours. We have to be through. Just kidding. Let's start at verse number 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed, there's the word faith again. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He was attributed righteousness. He was never made righteous. Amen. That's why Abraham couldn't go to heaven when he died. Nobody went to heaven until Jesus paid the price for them to have access. Yes. In fact, there was a part of hell. There was 2 parts of hell. There was the torment place, and there was a chasm it talks about. On the other side was the place where the righteous dwelled. I believe in great comfort. And they called that area of comfort Abraham's bosom. Those which were of faith that God says, I've accounted you worthy of salvation. But you can't go to heaven until the price is paid through the cross. And it says Jesus descended to hell, and when he came up, it says he took captivity captive, Abraham's bosom with him, to heaven. Yeah. Why? Because he went down to preach the gospel in hell. Yeah. To Abraham's bosom, and I believe it was 100% acceptance. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you, if you saw hell on the other side of the chasm? Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah.
100% acceptance, and he took all those that were in the holding place at Abraham's bosom to heaven at that time. They had no access before that. The price had not yet been paid. So, he was counted righteous. We go on down to verse number, let's see. Let's go to verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Abraham was called righteous, and God did not impute sin to him. You're made righteous, and God's not imputing sin to you. Amen. Now there is a responsibility, I believe, to make an effort to follow God in this. Amen. Because you're out there doing what you want to do, regardless of what the Spirit of God is saying within. You're running around like the world runs, with no change in your life. I don't think it works. Scripture bears that up. It says, verse 9, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only? In other words, that would be Israel. Upon the uncircumcision also, that would be us. In other words, Paul's saying, it's not just Jews that are going to be saved. God's saving the Gentiles as well. And it's not by following the law, which Israel's still trying to do. It's by faith in what God, how can I say, is paid for through the cross. We say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. It was reckoned. Now here's proof that Paul was from Kentucky. It was reckoned unto him, right? How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but uncircumcision. What he's getting at is the Jews believe you have to be circumcised to get to heaven. But Paul says Abraham was made righteous before he was, or called righteous before he was circumcised. Later he became circumcised. We are the same way. You believe and God circumcises you in heart, but then you have to get in the Word to be circumcised in mind. The Word virtually cuts sin, flesh thinking, out of your life. Amen, if you do it properly. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness, of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. I'm going to read on down. Verse 13. Now we're going to get into it. So he's finally through the review. Nobody said it.
Yay!
For the promise that he should be heir of the world. What? Heir of the world. More than the promised land. More than just a strip of you know, territory. Was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. God's saying, I'm gonna turn ownership of the world over to a people of faith. Amen. Faith like Abraham had. And Abraham had great faith. What did he do to do it? What did he do again? When God said, leave your land, he left. Now God said, don't take anything with you, but he did take a lot. Sorry.
Which he wasn't supposed to take.
And it's still costing Israel today. Abraham's mistakes, not believing God and fully following him, is still costing Israel and the world today. Amen. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. You trying to be good enough just invalidates if you could be, would invalidate the cross. But it won't. We need the cross. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, including us, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The Israelites, not just the Israelites, much of Islam calls Abraham their father. Islamic nations mostly came out of Abraham.
Yep.
Amen. There was Isaac and there was Ishmael. For some of the Islamic nations. There was Jacob and there was Esau for some of the Islamic nations. But Israel, the 12 tribes, came out of Jacob. Amen?
Amen.
And so they claim Father Abraham. But the truth is, we as the church are really the only ones qualified to call Abraham Father. How can you say that? Well, Jesus said it. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, you're father the devil. They said, no, Abraham is our father. Do you remember reading this passage?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if Abraham were your father, you would celebrate me and not want to kill me. Yeah. To paraphrase. Yeah. Jesus denied Abraham was the father of the Jews. Genetically, he was. Spiritually, we are. Is this going too far for you today? We are the seed of Abraham. In fact, we're the seed of Adam. Really the seed of Eve that God said would crush the head of the serpent. I love this book. I virtually love it. As it is written, verse 17, I have made thee the father of many nations before whom he quickened, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God's a God that makes alive. Quickening means makes alive the dead. And when you were dead in your sins, and you said, I believe in the cross, I receive the sacrifice, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, God took you from being dead to Him to alive through Him. He makes alive the dead. You were dead spiritually, and now you're alive. But it goes further than that, doesn't it? Talking about Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. What's that mean, against hope, believed in hope? The hope of Abraham was an heir, was a son. Now he's approaching 100. This really started when he was 75 and Sarah was 65. That was when the promise came. For 25 years, Abraham believed the promise of God when it looked impossible. He's 75, maybe there's a possibility. In fact, they found out later, Abraham was able, it was Sarah had the problem, right? His hope was to have his heir, but it looked impossible. And every year, 76, 77, 80, 90, it looks more and more impossible. Against hope, he believed in hope. He kept believing God for 25 years until the son came. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Abraham's body is shut down by this time. Now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, that's faith, that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore was imputed unto him for righteousness. Because of Abraham's faith, God says, I'm going to call you righteous. Oh, you waited for 25 years, but you're not giving up on the hope. You're not giving up on the vision. Can I add a secondary thought in here? This is just a meditation question. It says, Abraham, when he was about 100 years old, staggered not. I wonder how close to 100. When did Sarah start showing? Here's interesting. Young women know something's changed after so long when they become impregnated. Certain things come to a stop, right? Sarah may have stopped years before.
Yeah.
When did she discover she was going to have a child? Was it when she says, Abraham, can you put me some chocolate ice cream and pickles? Of course, that's before ice cream, right? Just give me the pickles. And I know we don't have any freezers yet, but find me some ice I got to chew on. When did she know? I wonder if she didn't start showing until about the 8th month. I'm just wondering. We'll find when we get to heaven. Because he was about 100, not staggering. See, if she starts showing, in fact, here's the thing. They didn't have ultrasounds back then. It could have been about 5 months. He going, sir, you put on some weight. What have you been eating? You been getting into the Oreos again? He probably thought she was just getting fat. Till something started kicking.
Right.
Still there was some movement. And I'll tell you what, there was joy in the Abraham household at that time. Verse 23. Now it was not written it for his sake alone, but that it should be imputed to him. But for us also, and whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who is delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Just living by faith didn't just get Abraham to heaven. He got him a son. He got him the heir he was wanting. You follow me? Not to mention Abraham's faith made him very rich, silver and gold and cattle. And even when he made mistakes, God blessed him. Remember when he told Egypt, Sarah was his sister, told the Pharaoh?
Yeah.
And he still got blessed out of it. Instead of, lynched.
Yeah.
He got blessed. It says in Hebrews 11, Abraham's faith was at the level that he believed if he sacrificed Isaac. Isaac was probably about 15 at that time. If he sacrificed Isaac, then God would raise him from the dead.
Yeah.
Raise him from the dead. Had Abraham ever seen anybody raised from the dead? No. But he believed God would raise Isaac because he had a promise.
Yeah.
He would be his heir.
Yeah.
And if he killed him, the only way that could be true is if God raised him. And God's looking for an end time people. They have dead raising faith.
Amen.
Anybody here believe someday you may raise the dead?
Yeah.
Anybody raise a hand or something? Let me know you're hearing me.
Yeah.
Put the Oreos down in this one. I believe there's a whole bunch of people that are going to raise the dead, cast out devils, open the eyes of the blind, cleanse the lepers, the lame shall walk,
yes,
and prosper supernaturally.
Amen.
All part of the promise of God to us. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
That just shall live by faith. So Father, I declare in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife. I speak a supernatural love upon this body. And other members receive divine encounters, divine appointments all week. You open your fullness. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.
Amen.
And when I ask this morning, anybody here say, Pastor Jack, I need prayer this morning. Would you pray for me? Maybe you need it.